we have fans. Like, this blew my mind. I thought there was like two dudes and that's it. But there's like four of them.
Wow, we doubled our fan base compared to what you thought we had.
That was actually, there was a lot of people who were weirdly interested in like this podcast. And it's weird. Like, who would want to listen to this? But like, then again, that was kind
of
cool.
I mean, that's the whole point of why we're doing this, is for people to listen to it.
I know, but I didn't think like people would listen. Like, I just figured this is us shooting the shit to get together and like hang out and like catching up on video games and stuff, and it would be fun. There's no way we're going to make a penny off of this thing.
Well, we still haven't made a penny off of it.
Yet. Yeah. Like, now I'm like, if we could get those four people, a quarter from each of them, that's a dollar.
It's a whole dollar. We're making it the big time now.
Okay, 50 cents from each of them, so each of us gets a dollar. There we go. It's a gamer. We're here. It's a gamer. That's it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, back in the place to be. Shoot, I messed that one up. Damn it. It's Harvey Z back in the... No, it's Harvey Z in the place to be. It's your boy, Harvey Z. I'm back.
I'm sorry, but our guest host did his intro better than you did.
We will never talk about that again. One time.
Oh, just be, so like law of averages, you have to multiple times before you're allowed to
judge him? I was just like, we will never speak of a guest host again.
Oh, okay. So just one time. You're never going to be absent ever again. Is that what you're telling me?
See, I was going to big time you and be like, oh, I'm down one now. So fine. You get 1 point. You're ahead on this one thing. Then yes, technically you have more podcasts than I do with this one.
Yes, that's very true. Do you have any reports like from your excursion, vacation?
What did you think I did?
I don't know.
I was mostly sick. Sick of life. Sick of corporate life. Sick of... Wait, it's a new year. We're being positive.
Yeah.
I'm rejuvenated. I spent some time in Sweden. Are the Swedish the ones who have that concept of like hygge?
What?
Hygge?
If you say it, just saying it and clenching your fist the second time doesn't...
Because make otherwise, me understand. If I was an American, I'd say like hygge, but it's hygge. It's like hyge. It's like... It's some Scandinavian concept of like comfort and like, so when I think of hygge, I think of like little book nooks where like people sit and curl up and like read, but like, it's like a feng shui, but Norwegian, a Viking feng shui.
Okay.
Where you like, you have cozy things that you do for comfort and like, you should surround your living space with comfort and your life should be hygge.
Why?
That's what it means. I mean, it's hygge. That's it. That's the word for it.
This is an audio thing, so you can't see him doing this, but every time he says hygge, he clenches his fist. And he does like a motion like, hygge.
That's like the Viking way. I don't know. I actually don't know which country, except for Scandinavian, that this concept is. It could be like Denmarkian, but I don't know what the Denmarkians do.
The thing that, but like, every time you say it, you do a voice.
I can't just do the voice without the clench.
But you can't. Don't even need to do the voice. You could just say hygge.
Hygge. That doesn't sound as like... It's an impressive concept and a word. I want to give it the gravitas it deserves.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, but comfort, man. That's what this year is about.
This year is about hygge?
Hygge.
Hygge.
Yes. We are manly Scandinavian Vikings who care about comfort and book nooks.
So, like... I want to believe this is the thing that you mean it is, but I know you, and for some reason, I just have this gut feeling.
I feel like I know lots of things that I don't even know that I know. Like, Google that. Google that ish. Hygge. Hygge. With, like, some number of dots somewhere over these letters.
You know, I'm doing it right now.
Hygge. I mean, maybe I'm mistaken, but, like, hygge. It's like Scandinavian feng shui.
Okay. Hygge is a Danish and Norwegian word for a mood of coziness and comfortable conviviality with feelings of wellness and contentment.
Harvey Z with the hygge in the place to be. I know things. See? Never doubt the Z. I should give myself a point for that. Now I'm back. We're tied now.
No, you don't get a point for Hig.
I totally just did. I killed it. It was so, like, you doubted me. I said, no, trust me, bro. You checked it out. Who was right? I'm pointing to myself right now. This guy.
Well, it's a new year, and I guess Harvey Z has to be right once every now and then.
Always.
No, not always. So we've got some news to get to.
Oh.
Stuff has been happening since the new year has come around. There's one big thing that kind of... So there's a big controversy. I know... So
it's a controversy.
Ooh. Yeah, there's a controversy around Overwatch that's like the biggest thing.
I think I may have heard bits
and pieces. You've heard of something else. And we'll start with that and then get into the actual controversy. So I think it was yesterday, Monday, Blizzard put out a new story short.
Oh, I love those.
And Soldier 76 is gay. Da da da.
We're all soldiers now. But wait, like,
so
the comic just says, hey, I'm gay. Like, what's the plot?
So the plot is about, it's Anna and Soldier 76, and Anna is like taking care of him after he got like injured or whatever. And there's like a reference to a past relationship that he had with a guy. There's like a picture of it and the two of them together. And then
like, do we actually, like, maybe this is just their best friend?
No, they came out and said, nah, he's boning him.
Oh,
not in that way.
I was like, all right, Overwatch, you've changed the comics since I've last read them.
No, but there was like something sad about how the guy is now married or whatever, and it's a long lost love or something. But the point is, the official word on the street is Soldier 76 is into dudes.
He could be bi.
I think they actually officially said no.
They clarified it.
They clarified that. Don't take my word on that.
Uh huh.
Because there was just a lot of people talking about how gay Soldier 76 was yesterday on Twitter.
In a good way or in a bad way?
I mean, most of my feed was in a good way, but there were people in a bad way, and most of my feed was dunking on the people saying, like, it was the usual, you know, people are forcing their agenda on, you know, us. Why do we got to make a dude gay? It doesn't make any sense. Blah, blah, blah.
Why do we got to make a... He was born that way.
Yeah. And so there was a lot of Dream Daddy jokes.
Ah, yeah. I could see that. Yeah.
There was a lot of, now you need to make Reaper gay so they can kiss.
And now I'm like shipping in my mind. I'm like, is that a good ship or a bad ship? I mean, there was always overtones, but now it gets weird. Because, like, one person is gay. Is the other person gay? Do we know?
I think it's in...
Is it implied?
It's implied that Reaper has a family. Like, is married and stuff.
I mean... Oh, wait. So, is the dude that 76 was into who got it...
No.
Oh.
No, it's someone else.
I was about to be like, massive conspiracy theory. Oh, man, Reaper broke his heart.
No. They just hate each other.
Because he broke his heart.
I'm
shipping this now. This is my new canon theory.
I mean, it's been a thing since like they revealed there was a backstory and the two hate each other. Like people are always on that. People, the two guys that hate each other actually love each other. Train,
of course.
So you're a latecomer to this one.
But like, weren't they friends at one time? And then like weren't they like on the same team?
They were on the same team, but then they betrayed each other and blew up and blah, 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 or whatever. I don't know.
I mean, if that's not love, then what isn't?
Okay. Yeah. It was funny because like the whole thing, like this short story had to do, was mainly about Anna because it's in concert. It's not exactly what I meant, but it's close enough with them releasing a new skin for Anna. Uh-huh. And like she got like a couple sprays. There's like a little mini event going on right now where you can earn the skin and sprays. And like, mm-hmm. So it was an Anna centered short, but
all the attention was
he's gay.
So sidestep or a side note, should we address that elephant in the room of like, So we made the character gay. Good move, bad move. What was Overwatch thinking? Just increasing diversity? I think that's a fair thing. Or do you think there's a hidden agenda to it?
Well, so a lot of people are like, well, Blizzard's been getting a lot of bad press. Clearly the thing to do is make a character gay. But like, I feel like something like a short or whatever, these sorts of things have to be in the pipeline mm-hmm. for a while. And so I don't think it was just, yeah, you know what? Let's get some points and get some gay up in here. Like, I don't...
Like a gay wag the dog strategy?
Gay the dog?
That gets weird.
Wag the gay?
Nope. We don't want the association with animals anymore. Let's move away from that. But, like, yeah, it is something of, like, is this a political move? Like, there is a cynical part of me that's like, is it a... yeah.
Well, okay. Well, let's go into the actual controversy that just happened that gave Overwatch some bad press.
And that happened before...
That happened before this.
Okay.
So I've got a timeline here, because it gets real complicated, and there's all sorts of shit that goes down. So I don't remember if we've talked about it on the show, but are you familiar with Overwatch Contenders?
No.
Okay. So there's the Overwatch League, which is like the main esports, blah, blah, blah. And then there's Overwatch Contenders, which is like the minor league Overwatch players.
Oh, okay. Not the international tournament thing.
No, it's not. There are international teams, but like...
This is a direct feeder into the league itself.
Yeah. There's like some farm teams or whatever.
We may have mentioned it in passing.
Yeah. So Overwatch Contenders is this minor league and their season has already started. I think there's like Contenders North America and Contenders Europe and Contenders Asia or something like that. So like they're split up into... The seasons are split up by country or location or whatever. But I don't follow Contenders, so...
Is it still, like, on Twitch and live and all
that? Yeah, it's on Twitch. Okay. It has its own channel. There's the Overwatch League channel and then Overwatch Contenders channel. And the Contenders is more friendly to time zones. Like, they'll play, you know, a European teams will play at a good European time. So it could be, like, 2 p.m. for me. So I can't watch it because it's...
Got it. Makes sense.
I'm at work or whatever. Okay, so Overwatch Contenders. There's this team called Second Wind. That's the name of the team.
Okay.
I'm following like a summary here online. It was done on Reddit by another user. I think new username is like Brandis. But anyway, it's in the competitive Overwatch Reddit, and it's a summary, and it's easier for me to read this than having written it all down myself. So on December 15th, the captain of Second Wind, named Haku...
Good name. I like it. Haku.
He makes a sexist comment and then apologizes for it. The sexist comment is females shouldn't play pro games or high level Overwatch.
So blah, typical blah, blah. Like sexist crap.
Yeah. Okay. He apologizes for it.
Why does he apologize?
Because a bunch of people yelled at him for it. So he apologizes.
Uh-huh.
So this is not directly related to things, but you'll figure out, it'll all come together once I get further.
Tarantino this shit.
So December 16th, a new Twitter account appears for a Overwatch player named Ellie. Ellie suddenly shows up and happens to be like a top 10 on the ladder, like the competitive Overwatch ladder. Like his like has like super high rank, suddenly comes out of nowhere.
Is it like, can you suddenly do that? Like if you,
that's,
oh, okay.
I'm going. So you're already thinking, she has like a really good win rate with Hanzo and Doomfist, is like a really good DPS. People notice it and they question who it belongs to because the account is low level. So it's clearly an alt account of some sort.
Meaning someone has created a secondary account.
Right, exactly. They haven't been playing since the beginning because, you know, you gain levels at a certain rate. And if you're that good, you have to have been playing for a while. But she continues to play. She duos with people. People are a little wondering who she is, but otherwise not a big deal. Okay, again, Tarantino, all this stuff is...
And she's so good that people, like, recognize that this person seems pretty awesome in a couple of days.
They're wondering because they see her on the Overwatch leaderboards and they're not sure. The dates are all will come into play later. So December 18th, Second Wind releases a player named Koluge, Coluge. He has a history of sexist and being toxic to women. And
not the first guy, though.
This is a different guy. This is a different guy.
So second sexist dude.
Yeah, second sexist dude. And they release him from Second Wind. So now they're down a DPS. So Second Wind on the 21st of December announces that they've hired Ellie to be a part of their team.
This is a little bit cynical of me, but okay. For some reason, I'm just getting a bad vibe from this story. It doesn't seem like a feel-good story right now.
I mean, I told you it was a controversy. So
maybe you've set it up that way, but I'm like, yeah, I thought we were going to go happy-go-lucky here.
No. So we were talking about why Blizzard might need good press.
Yeah. And so, this is actually like, it actually falls kind of weakly into a let's make a character gay kind of thing, actually. Okay, let's go. Let's keep going.
So Second Wind, this Contenders team, has hired Ellie. They mentioned that she can flex heroes. Because they released Koluge, she fits into the slot. Just because she's high on the ladder, which means she's obviously a good player. Now, there's a lot of positive reaction to us. Like, yes, there's a female.
Yay. First female gamer or no?
So one of the things that happens, I'm not there, I'll get to it. But there's Gaguri, who plays in the Overwatch League. Mm-hmm. And then there's like four or five other women players who are already in Overwatch Contenders that play for their team.
Okay.
So this is not a first of anything, but it is not reported as that. So, okay. But we'll get to that. So there's this character, and I say character, but he's a 17-year-old asshole. I'm not going to mention him by name because he doesn't need to be like,
okay,
have any more infamy. But he was hardware banned from Battle.net.
So like physically can't.
Yeah. He can't log because he was doing shit in Overwatch and like harassing people and doing all sorts of stuff. Like he can't play anything on Blizzard anymore. Like that's how like scorched earth they went on this guy.
And it seems more to be a hardware ban versus a like software ban makes sense, but like
hardware, like
so like he physically cannot connect to.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So this guy starts harassing Ellie on Discord. Like he's like, prove you're a girl, you know, call me on the phone.
All right.
You know, show me pictures. Like
this is just creepy male harassment.
Yeah, he's creepy male harassment. And it's not the first time he's done that to a female Overwatch player. Then to like, now she's starting to get questions like how legitimate she is. So she streams with a couple people to prove that she's not other people. Like people are claiming, oh, you're this person. Oh, you're that person. So she streams with them to prove that.
So you can see her and you,
so she can prove that they're not
she's
them.
A person playing. She's legit. Okay, that was my like cynicalness of like some dude was this person. Okay.
And so she does that. Then she later on December 28th, she streams with another person that's another female player, I believe, named Minnie. And a lot of people question her ability in this one because it seems like she's playing a lot poorer than her rank should suggest. She misses things that should be real easy for players of this caliber. The number one player, one of the best players in the world in Overwatch, DeFran, I don't know, but he's like he's the guy that makes like Torbjorn videos, like he was kicking ass with Torbjorn, you know, because he's just that good.
Mm-hmm.
He on his stream, he just says offhand that he thinks that Ellie is talking into the microphone, but someone is playing for her. Like,
can't you see from like the controls and stuff? Are we being too cynical? Of like,
in the street, that's what people are looking at. This they're like they're thinking like that Ellie is talking into the microphone, but someone else is.
That sucks to have like a really good player like suddenly cast aspersions. Now you're really like put probably under the line like this. The scrutiny and stuff. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to guess that she probably gets even more scrutiny then because some dude in a position of power is like, huh, what's up?
So then on January 3rd, she continues to stream and play with people to try and prove her legitimacy while people are questioning what's going on. On January 3rd, Ellie steps down from Second Wind. People say things So they blame the community because they were harassing her. The bad guy that I mentioned, like, who was threatening her and harassing her. The team people on the ladder would just, like, leave or, like, throw games with her because they didn't think she was a real person. They were just really treating this supposedly suddenly good female player that was on a contender, that had just been signed to a contender team, just bad. And so a lot of people were blaming Overwatch community, saying they were, you know, this is exhibit A of toxic sexist gamers, yeah, toxicity, things like that. Kotaku and PC Gamer both run articles about things. Kotaku's article was called "Overwatch Pro Quits After Harassment Over Whether She Was Really Playing." And of course, doesn't really do a lot of research, but just kind of reports on what's been going on and says, you know, look at this female player who got kicked out of the community. People who are Overwatch pros are kind of keeping quiet, trying not to get into too many arguments. But the general gaming community is like, God, Overwatch is just this awful, toxic environment. Like, look what they did to this poor female player.
I feel like this happens in sports as well. Like, when you have an athlete who, like, Ray Rice, like, he beat up his wife, and suddenly, like, everybody on the team or everybody who's a professional suddenly gets harassed or asked about their opinions, and you have to say yes or no. And it's really hard if you don't know the information, but because you're in the community and, like, good at the game or well-known, suddenly you need to be a representative of it. Gets weird, actually. I don't know what's the ideal thing here of, like,
I mean, Ray Rice is a shitty person.
Well, yeah, I agree with you on that.
Okay, just so we're clear on that.
Yeah, that's fine. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, when something happens in a community, and this is actually, I think, in sports or maybe even in bigger things as well, like, when something happens in a community, every member of that community suddenly gets, like, put on the spot. And even if you didn't know what's happening in this age of, like, digital information and stuff, like, you suddenly need an opinion, and then you get judged on, wait, did you hear about this? And then you hear about it, and it's like, so what's your take? And it's like, no.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Because I could see, because I'm, like, in my head thinking, like, was it a good thing to stay silent, or should you, like, just immediately take a side, but you don't know? But is that, by waiting a little bit, are we in this media age going, oh, well, you don't believe her then, and you would come out and support? Like, it could be spin any way, as that headline was kind of showing.
Right, yeah. This is where we're at on January 3rd. January 4th, a Overwatch streamer who's really good named Aspen, she comes out and reveals the truth behind Ellie. And she reveals that this player on the ladder named Punisher, who was one of the ones that Ellie, quote unquote, Ellie streamed with to prove that she wasn't Punisher, was actually behind the account the whole time.
Aspen knew this somehow?
Yes. Aspen said that Punisher was behind the Ellie, and he claimed it was, the entire thing was a social experiment.
Ah, I've been seeing this in other things as well, like recently. I'll get into a huge tangent, but I won't, because this is a good story. But if we want to get weird, ask me about social experiments.
Okay. Anyway. So then Slasher, who is this guy who, like, is kind of the investigative reporter of Pro Overwatch. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll tweet out, like, insider information, things like that, because he has sources and stuff like that. He tweets out that he actually talked to and was in contact with Ellie, but the girl behind Ellie. Like, there was an actual
actress or person.
Yeah, so this girl alleges that no one from Second Wind knew that Punisher was pretending to be Ellie.
So wait, she was, like, playing matches?
Yeah.
Or
no, so the way it worked, supposedly, is that Punisher would play, and he asked this, he asked random girls through Overwatch or whatever until he found one that was willing to voice for him while he played. Okay. And so he was pretending to be Ellie for shits and giggles.
Uh-huh.
Then got signed to Second Wind or whatever. And there was, like, a big to-do because she didn't give her real name when she got signed to Second Wind. You know, she was trying to be private and all that stuff. Then, on top of that, Kaluge, the guy that got fired from Second Wind, reveals that he was also playing as Ellie.
I'm Spartacus. Like, what?
And then he tweets out DMs between him and Punisher talking about using the account.
Oh, it gets slimier. Okay.
So both of them were pretending to be Ellie and boosting this and this account and playing well and getting high up on the ladder. So then there's more proof that comes out. Eventually, it's pretty official that Punisher and Coluge were pretending to be Ellie. Both of them conspired or whatever to just, for shits and giggles, a social experiment.
Yes.
To prove something about females in pro gaming or how people treat, you know, some bullshit. Second Wind sends out an official statement. Of course, kicks Ellie off the team. They said this was, they had given Ellie the benefit of the doubt because she wanted to protect her privacy, but clearly did not do a good enough job of vetting.
Yeah, this is, I mean, this feels like a Donald Trump kind of stupid level mistake. Like, I don't know if this this league, though, pays its players.
I think they do.
If you pay them, you should know, like, their basic information. So, I mean, yes, you could PayPal them or something. But
like, I just don't understand what, like, these two guys' endgame was. Like, they couldn't girlfriend from Canada this. Like, they actually go to places and play. Like, they couldn't have hid this through, like, actual matches.
That's what I was wondering. Like, if you, like, in Overwatch League, you have to show up and, like, play. Like, would she be there and, like, somebody has a laptop back screen and they're playing? Like, that it wouldn't work. But I think that's why they're going with the shits and giggles social experiment thing to see how far they could push it. How old are these two dudes?
They're young. They're,
because this seems like
something like 17, 18, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So then on, so that was January 4th. Oh, and the last thing. So the last thing that ties the thing together is that Jane, who is a coach for one of the Overwatch League teams, and is a he's a big Overwatch personality. He talks about news and balance changes and things like that on Twitch. He is the one that points out that the day before Ellie started making big noise is when this guy Haku, the captain of Second Wind, was accused of being sexist. And just, like, sort of feeds the conspiracy theory of, like, well, maybe Second Wind did know this entire time, and they're just saying they didn't, and that this was a, that all this was planned from the beginning
to, like, introduce a female player, make us look good.
Yeah.
And then at some point, then it's even dumber then, because Second Wind is a company that should have, like, adults behind it that would see that this is a stupid idea. I'm a little bit, like, I don't want to believe in that much stupidity in that many people, but it's 2019. Trump's, like, talking right now about, like, whatever. So maybe the stupidity is real.
Okay, yeah. So then on January 5th, Slasher, who is the Overwatch insider guy,
says
there's more.
Not Punisher.
Yeah, not Punisher. So Slasher comes out and says that he talked to a couple other female Overwatch players who Punisher had come to act to, and asked to speak as him at while he was playing. So it's not just, he didn't just ask one person, he asked many girls to speak as him while he was playing and pretend to be Ellie or someone else. He made creepy jokes and was kind of creepy about it.
He probably solicited, I can expect, be my muse.
Also, another woman comes out, says that Punisher was actually behind Ellie's Discord and that no person was actually harassed by that guy. Like, the entire conversation was faked.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, his harassment was, he was harassing himself?
No, I think it was just that they made up, like,
they made up the Ellie where they were like, you're a girl or you're not a girl, show us who you are and all that stuff, was him doing it to prove, like, the social experiment point?
I know he, so it was just him typing as Ellie. Like, there wasn't a girl behind the account, like, at all. Like, the Discord account, anything, no girl was actually harassed. It was just him talking to this asshole who was trying to be creepy to a girl.
I see.
And yeah, so that's where we're at right now.
Okay. That was weird.
Blizzard released an official statement.
They don't condone any of this, probably.
Of course, yeah. They said that they're going to improve processes in the future in terms of
privacy or
not, well,
verification
and privacy and things like that.
Did the two dudes get punished at all, or are they walking away scot-free?
It hasn't been established yet. There's Blizzard is probably going to do something to them, I would assume.
This is a kind of a dick thing to do. And like, if the two dudes get away without any consequence. Well, one of them, I guess, did he go back on his team, the Second Wind?
What?
The Calbee guy?
Yeah, no, Corluge was already off the team.
Okay, he didn't get his spot back.
No, he's not, he's still off the team. Like,
good.
He's,
okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, so that is the controversy, that there hasn't been an official end to it yet in terms of Blizzard's consequences. And
so cynical people are like, Soldier 76.
Yeah, we're going to make him gay. And
that'll fix feminism.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but like I said, stuff like this, like the story, short story, everything has to be in the pipeline for a while.
I agree.
So there isn't any way they turn this around in like a couple days and we're like, all right.
Just delete these two lines and yeah. Like switch. I miss my buddy to.
Yeah.
I boned him. In the words of T-Man.
Oh, God. So, yeah. So.
Okay.
Overwatch. That was crazy weekend. Like, I was trying to follow along with all that. And I was outraged. Then I was confused. Then I was outraged again. But for a different reason.
This is the problem with the news cycle. It's that outrage psycho thing. I learned a different thing if we want to. So that's that story.
Oh, okay. If you want to do it.
Social experiments, just learned about a concept. Get rich quick scheme. Got an idea. So read an article today. The Venmo meme.
What?
Venmo blanket me and I'll ... is the meme.
Okay.
So what it is, just read about it on like, so people on Twitter, like somebody made a Twitter joke about this. Like, Venmo me $5 and I'll post on your ex's Instagram with her new man, ew, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And, like, it was a joke, but then people started to let it go viral. And so people were like, Venmo me this and I'll do something. Usually of the line of, like, on Instagram, I'll comment this on your ex or such. Or Venmo me and I'll, like, give you a compliment.
So that makes sense because there's a writer that I follow that had a tweet that got really big that was like, Venmo me $50 and I'll show up at your funeral wearing all black with an umbrella.
And like, you have a mysterious backstory.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. There was another one though. So this is just joking around and stuff. And like people were writing up this article. One of them was like, Venmo me $10 and I'll like make this comment. Venmo me $5 and I'll show you a picture of my feet. And then turns out they talked to that person.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That person was like, oh, yeah, people laughed and they retweeted it and stuff. But I've gotten like 10 to 15 offers. Turns out $5 is super cheap for showing feet. And she was like, you know, I'm a college student. Why not? She was like, 10 to 15 of them did PayPal me or Venmo me. And so she was like, why not? And she sent them feet pics. And then she was like, now people are some people are making money off of this. Now, of course, it's the hot, attractive young ladies out there who are doing this.
Uh-huh.
Harvey Z, Venmo me. We'll figure something out.
Do you even have a Venmo?
I don't, but I'll get one for this. Harvey Z, Venmo me $5. I guess I'll show you my feet. this seems like a money making industry out there. They're just putting out tweets and then people are like, because some of it's easy, like Venmo me like $5 and I'll shit on your ex on their like Instagram or something.
Okay, that's not. I'm glad you added on their Instagram, because when we were talking about pictures of feet and then you went shit on your ex, like
that, I have some standards. Okay, okay, that's right. At least like three figures.
Jesus Christ.
But like, so I just saw this and I'm just like fascinated with like, so they're saying like new millennials, which again, these people are in their like early 20s. I don't think they're millennials, but like new millennials found a new way to make money is like the headline. And I was like, clickbait, I'll click on it. And so I did. And
I like that you register that as clickbait, but you're like, yeah, I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah, I'm going in. What is this? There's a hot girl on the picture. Click. Suddenly see. Oh, it's a joke. Get it? Ha ha. Wait, they're making, how can I get rich off of this? I'm not a hot girl, but I can create a price scale and you can Venmo me and I'll do stuff. Like, if it's just like making comments, that's the thing. They're getting paid like a couple bucks just to like comment on people's Instagrams. That's the coolest or weirdest concept to me of where I remember my mind being blown by like Twitch when it came out of like, so I play video games and I get paid to like, people will watch me play these games. Now it's like, I'll just like go, ew, or you could have done better on your friend's Instagram and you just pay me a couple bucks for that. Man, what a world we live in.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a good thing though.
And to tie it all back, so the first person who put that out was just like, I was saying it was a social experiment. And so that's where it was like, you're reminding me of like, yeah, people these days are saying and doing weird stuff and then just going, it's a social experiment.
Everyone's doing a social experiment. This podcast is a social experiment.
Ooh, but we Venmo us. I think that's Venmo. Make me a
Venmo
gamer.
Us $5. And we'll stop doing this podcast.
Nope. We need to, I think we can make more money by doing it.
Okay. Venmo us
$5. That's like a reverse Patreon.
Yeah. Give us enough money and we'll stop.
Matreon.
What?
We make Matreon pay us money to stop doing things. Give us a monthly subscription and we won't do this. We just need to get other people to subscribe to it, and then people can pay them crap to like not do things.
But the thing is, we has to be something people wouldn't want us to do. So like, pay us if you're in the first tier, we won't murder you. If you're in the second tier, we won't stand outside your house and scream out the lyrics to Backstreet's Back, All Right.
All right. Okay, I was like, whoa, you're starting way too high with the murder one.
But that's
I
see, the low tier.
That's the low tier. So at least to prevent the murder, $5. But $10 so we don't annoy you. Yeah. $15 so we don't like Twitter bother you or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
slowly work our way up.
This seems like a lot of work. It's much easier to just produce one thing and then put it out there versus we have to harass every single follower.
I mean, the whole point, you just said they've got to stop.
That's true. We do this anyway.
Because like, if we do something self-destructive to ourselves, nobody's going to pay us to stop because they're going to laugh at us.
Yes.
Like, pay us $5 so we won't eat an entire bag of spicy Cheetos in under a minute. Like, no one will pay for that because everyone wants to see us do it.
Yeah.
So we've got to do something like $5 and we won't take a bag of nickels and hit you over the back of the head with it.
I feel like this was the entire premise to the Jackass movie series. If you just keep paying them money, eventually they'll stop.
I think that was, if they keep paying them money, they will keep injuring themselves.
There's no Jackass 4?
Are you sure?
Maybe. That's why I was like, there's a lot of decimals. For some reason, they got heavy into decimals. There was Jackass 2.5 and like Jackass 3. But like, the only problem I don't like, so this is me stepping aside again. Matreon is such a good title. It should be used for something. I don't like it being, and it's the anti-Patreon kind of thing, but I feel like it has a negative connotation and the feminist in me is like, ugh, that was a little weird, I know, but hey, it's a new 2019.
Well, there is some other news we can talk about, so let's just move on.
I'm like, get rich quick. Like, we need to work on this though. Venmo. We should have an official Venmo for the podcast for like the fans to pay us $1 or $2 and they can just give us money.
What a Patreon is.
But maybe they don't. But does Patreon collect the money? Like, how does Patreon make money?
Like, they get like 1% of it or something.
Like microtransactions.
Yeah.
I want all of my pennies. Anyway, okay. We'll work on this. We'll workshop this.
Yeah. Okay. So next piece of news. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you will not like this. Nintendo has officially made Bowsette not canon.
You can't take that from me.
No. They did.
They don't own, like,
they said that Toadette is the only one that can wear the super crown.
Why are they like Toadist?
I don't know, but in the official game site, on the website, it says Toadette is the only one that can use the super crown, and in parentheses they say, sorry Luigi.
They just took pot shots at Luigi.
Yep. Pot shots at Luigi. But yeah, they officially came out and they're like, listen, we're not going to acknowledge it directly. But
we're not even going to name the person.
Yeah, but we're just going to say this straight up. Toadette is the only one that can wear this. So don't start sending us those weird drawings that you've been sending us.
I like the implication, sorry Luigi, rather than sorry Mario, because the comics actually had it as Mario and Bowser, which implies that like Luigi, who was off in the distance, was just like, Someday. Someday.
Yeah. I'm sorry to break your heart. I know how much you wanted Bowsette to be in Smash Brothers.
She's still real to me, damn it.
Another thing that's kind of... This was actually in the news back in December, so it's a little old. But have you heard about the Fortnite dance controversies?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I did. And I fully support it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember who all's already started suing. I know
Alfonso Riviera, who is Carlton from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, who has the Carlton dance.
Yeah, he sued because they have the Carlton dance.
Floss Kid?
Floss
Kid. Or Backpack Kid. Backpack Kid is the guy who has the flossing dance. He's suing for the flossing dance.
Yeah, he sued that. That's right. I know the floss guy was suing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was another rapper that was also doing it. Like 2 Milli or something?
I don't know a rapper named 2 Milli.
Okay, that's... Okay.
There is a dance called the Milli Rock. I don't know if that's in Fortnite.
I don't know. But, okay. Yeah, so there's just been a lot of talk about how Fortnite has been popularizing these dances, especially with kids and things like that. But A, the people that made the dances aren't getting any royalties. And B... A lot of the dances are like of African American culture from like rapper videos,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so they're kind of like it's that whole like white.
Is it like exploitation or?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, like cultural appropriation, I guess, is what I was looking for there.
I didn't consider that point, but that's a that gets into a tricky area.
Yeah, it does.
Because I was like, at first I was like, can you copyright a dance? Which
it's kind of hard. Some people say no, and some people are like, well, obviously the Carlton dance is Carlton's. Like,
but does he own it?
But does he? Who knows?
Or is it like the people who own Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, would they own that? But then you could never do that. They do that dance everywhere, but Carlton usually does it. It's not. But, that gets weird. But most people who are doing it are for fun or on a like live TV or something.
The difference is that Epic Games are getting paid.
And like that's dances. Probably something where you have to buy that dance, or you have to buy like the little things, or
yeah, exactly, yeah. Emotes cost money, so they're making money off of this, and then like they're royalties. Getting popular. So like a kid doing the Carlton dance on YouTube, that's one thing.
Yeah,
you know, this company who is making lots of money, like Fortnite, makes a bajillion dollars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see what happens. I mean, like, cause this, I feel like this could end up being a Supreme Court case. Like, is dancing freedom of speech? Is it protected under the First Amendment?
But that would imply like, songs, is that freedom of speech just to sing them? To do it for a profit? It changes it, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, but it is a fascinating cultural question of like that's the part that intrigued me of like the dance copyright idea. The cultural appropriation one, that's a whole sticky other wicket.
Yeah, this is a lot of sticky wicketing.
Interesting. I'm kind of curious to see how this one will go, because I'd forgotten about that in December, and I was like, if you don't hear anything about it, which probably means it's in court.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes from there. Who knows how long it'll take if it like actually goes to court and everything.
If they just settle out for some money. But I kind of want it to go to... Well, I don't know if I want it to go to court, because it always gets into this weird like domino effect of downstream. What did we just create a law for?
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, is dance freedom of speech? Is dance copyrightable? One would argue like ballets and stuff. Like,
yeah, Nutcracker, things like that.
You can't just like... Well, you can't... Flash mobs then. Like, do you need someone to be like, hey, it's 50 cents royalties on this flash mob? The Thriller dance. Oh, man.
Interesting times we live in. Then on the related note, our good old friend Soulja Boy, the Nintendo Ninjas finally got to him after he kept talking shit on Twitter. And like, Nintendo isn't going to do anything. Like, I can sell whatever I want.
This seems to happen. This was in our like very first episode. some dude was like, come at me, bro.
Yeah, the Philip Muchin with the plagiarism. Oh, which he started his Dead Cells review. Like he did a video where he talked about like the best games of 2018 or something. And he started the Dead Cell segment with imitation is the best form of flattery. And this game takes a lot from other people. And like the balls on that guy of just like 100% going in and just being like, yeah, I know I plagiarized. What the fuck are you going to do about it? Like, oh, I hate that guy. But anyway, so yeah. So Soulja Boy, he did the same thing. He was like, Nintendo ain't going to touch me. And then like he tweeted out sadly, like, yeah, I had to take it down.
his weird emulator game system thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're gone. You can't get him anymore because he got a cease and desist or whatever. Like they were emulating Nintendo games and Nintendo was like, woo. Then there was, Bethesda can't get away from bad press.
Is it still Fallout 4 related?
It's Fallout 76.
So, Fallout 76.
It's not related to the game. For once, it was not related to the game. It was just related to the alcohol they were trying to sell.
Wait, they got in the alcohol business?
Yeah. So they had, through some bottling company or brewery or whatever, they made what they called Nuka Dark Rum. Now, in the Fallout series, there's Nuka Cola, which is like the main soda.
Yep.
And they've done like specials things where like a regular blueberry soda will be like relabeled Nuka Quantum or something for a limited time. So they've done this before, but it was like a special rum that they were making, and it was supposed to come in this like cool rocket-shaped bottle.
I've no faith in that.
And it was called Nuka Dark Rum. And so it was a limited thing and you had to pre-order it and it cost $80. And then people got it. And what it was a regular bottle and the rocket shape was just a plastic shell around it. And so you just like opened the plastic shell and it was just a regular old bottle. And everyone was pissed.
I mean, yes, you can get your hopes and dreams up, I suppose.
But like they showed a picture of the bottle on like the website where you could pre-order and gave no indication that it wasn't going to be like the glass bottle wasn't going to be shaped like a rocket. A lot of people thought they were going to be getting like, because this looked like it was just like a fancy bottle. They could get it, drink it, and then have like a neat little display thing.
It didn't look like a plastic rocket ship bottle. I mean, at this point, I'm almost like, dumbasses. Like, what? Why do you keep going back to Bethesda?
To be fair, this was pre-orderable before Fallout 76 came out.
Nice.
Yeah. So, nice. Like, this came out. This was, like, in, like, September or October.
So those people ordered this stuff, saw all the massive catastrophes, and were like, maybe they won't get to me. Maybe they won't get to me. This is before that. Fuck. All right, folks. I looked at it. Yeah. All right. One could get their hopes up.
Yeah. There are regular beer and like,
that's the thing.
Alcohol like bottles.
It looks like a beer container or something like fancy and nice. Yeah. Like I was like, it doesn't look like glass, but it does look nice.
Yeah. And it did not come out nice. It was just plastic. And while technically like they didn't officially say anything, so it's not like the nylon versus whatever. So, and like the bottling company came out and said that, you know, like we tried to make a glass bottle, but it just didn't work right. So the best thing that we felt would satisfy the customers was this. And like, I don't know. I'm glad I didn't fall for it. I seriously considered getting one.
Really?
Yeah. I like Fallout.
You're not a rum guy.
I'm sure I would have found someone that would drink it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a vodka guy, but I almost got one of those alien, it's like the green vodka and it's like a green glass.
Do you mean Crystal Skull?
No. There's a Crystal Skull that's like a skull. But then there's one that's an alien head.
Like alien from like...
Like Roswell. Like,
oh, okay.
Like, looks like...
Nope, that's too cheesy. Nope. Come on, man. Have some taste.
I like those. You had the skull one for a while.
Did I?
Yeah.
think I had a tiny skull one.
You got a tiny skull, but you did have a skull.
I mean, it was pretty badass for being a tiny skull. The alcohol was actually not that great, which really bums me out because I think the alcohol was by like Dan Aykroyd. But like, I'm sorry, Dan. I love the Blues Brothers. The skull vodka thing, yeah. But it was a pretty neat little skull that I would like pour Coke and stuff into then, and I'd have a shot of Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah. College.
Well, that's it for news. So we're pretty close to the end here, I think. Have you been playing any XCOM or anything?
I haven't really been playing. I've been getting into board games actually a lot. And it's been interesting to play with like non-board game people, because things that I would introduce my gaming friends to, someone who doesn't play any games, doesn't really work. Catan, hard as fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, that was the game that got me into board gaming. Was like, oh, board games can be complicated and awesome. But when you have someone who has only played like Monopoly and Scrabble and like those types of Parker Brother games, introducing them to like German games like Catan and Pandemic and stuff, a lot tougher. I had to rethink the whole thing.
I can see that. But I mean, that those games were the ones that got me in to realize that board games could be more than just Monopoly and...
I think it's because I was a gamer, I think, and so I was used to like, oh, video games offer all these cool, board games are nowhere close to video games because of that. But now, like, I kind of like the social aspect of having multiple people play a board game, you're all sitting down together, which is what video games used to be for me.
Yeah, that is true.
But like, I didn't think games could be complicated, but that was the way, what ended up working was games like Carcassonne is pretty easy to learn. Sushi Go is a simple card game that you can kind of understand the mechanics and the concepts of. Pandemic cooperative games seem to work better as well.
Yeah, I think starting out with cooperative games is a better idea.
So you can ease the player in and you have other people who know how to play as well, so you can kind of boost it. But like...
Arkham Horror.
I know. Arkham Horror is still like joked about and... Like Arkham Horror.
So funny thing. I looked up Arkham Horror, and apparently there's a third edition out now, or something like that. That like simplifies the game. Like it's almost like it's a new game.
No.
Yeah. No. I swear to God, it's Arkham Horror, just new.
It took completely so redesigned. Long to get away from Arkham. I haven't played in years.
I mean, I would take a look at this new third edition, like, and not to like actually get it. But just to see how they've streamlined it. And like, seriously, like, the board is redesigned. Everything has changed.
I mean, I kind of liked how, like, it took, like, an hour to set up the full, with the expansion, the Innsmouth, with the random, like, Goat of the Woods. And I had, like, three or four, but it got so intense that by the time we set it up, we were just like, we give up. Like, no.
Okay. I for Christmas, I got a board game called Scythe. That
like Cutting Scythe?
Yes.
Huh?
Funny enough, Slim did the exact same thing. Like I said it to him last week on the podcast, and he did the exact same like Cutting Scythe, like just like you did.
I mean,
it's eerie
because I was like Scythe. No, I think he means Scythe, but Cutting. Yeah, I mean just to, like because if I just turned to you and went Cutting Scythe, I guess Cutting Scythe makes sense too. But
yeah, you don't need the hand motion. But yeah, so that looks like to be a real complicated game. So I want to get people who are okay with like the Arkham Horror-ness and want to sit down.
Arkham Horror levels of complex?
I don't think so.
Like Catan levels?
I mean, like there's a lot of pieces. It's a heavy box. So okay. It's a good, like, we need to sit down and all definitely want to learn how to play this sort of game.
Ah.
So it's not going to be like a pickup and casual type thing, but I want to play it real bad because I've been real interested in it ever since I heard about it.
Okay.
So maybe I'll get you and Slim and Professor Q all together.
Might be free this weekend. I don't know why we're talking about this on the podcast. Hey, Slim, if you're listening to this, you want to come and like play this game?
Yeah, Professor Q, hit us up.
Yeah.
That's two out of the four fans.
Yes. And send me a dollar, goddamn it. Venmo it.
All right. We're at the end of the podcast. Where can they find you, Harvey Z?
At the Z is silent on Twitter, my friends.
You can find...
I don't know why that was funny, but I like that.
No, I just had a random thought in my head. I was just thinking of, like, you changing your name to the Z is Hig.
The Z is up. Oh, that's my new Twitter handle now. The Z is Hig. Perfect. Thank you.
You can, if you really wanted to do that to make it even harder to spell Hig-Z. And fight, yeah.
In the place to be.
You can find me on Twitter at TMANPlaysGames. You can find us at Make Me a Podcast on Twitter. When I say us, I mean that's our podcast. You know the drill by now. My writing is at TMANWrites.com. And I think that's it. Oh, email us at MakeMeAGamerPodcast@gmail.com. We love to hear your comments, questions, concerns, complaints.
Not so much on that.
All right. Well, it's 2019. We hope you find your hig.
That's my line.
Okay. I took it from you.
I know. I don't have another. Damn it. I'm T-Man. Hi. Bye.
What?
That's my T-Man. I don't have a hand gesture for you yet. Hand gesture. Jazz hands. It's T-Man.
Did you just make me into Mr. Hanky?
The Christmas Pooh? I haven't thought about that in so long.
He was actually on the most recent South Park season.
So, like, you just pulled something out of my head, like, from, like, 5+ years ago that I didn't even think about. What a weird thing to think about at this moment. I'm thinking about a Christmas Pooh. This just got weird, man.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Adios.
Pooh out.